Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. It is another blessed Sunday. This is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ, the Lies and Message, on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Choir Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. If you have any prayer requests, I pray with you. If you have any questions about the lesson, I do my best in the Lord Jesus to answer for you. If you have any comments, I ask you to limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes on the comments. If you're calling to get information on how to obtain copy of the messages that the Lord has been sending through his angel messenger, I will get that to you as well. And for those of you that don't like giving your prayer requests over the air, your comments or your questions, contact me at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com, and I will get back to you. Amen. So before I go any further, I'd like to shout out to those of you listening to the broadcast here in the United States. Welcome. Well, welcome to those of you in Canada and Ireland. Welcome, Japan, those that is in the United Kingdom, and those that are listening in the Netherlands and in every country that I have not named. I want to welcome you to Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry broadcast. For those of you that's listening, hey, without further ado, let us pray. Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, once again, we are gathered together on this blessed day. We're grateful that you are Lord and you're God. And Father, we ask today, Lord, that you will bless us as we go into the Word of God once again today. I pray that you will word my mouth by the power of your Spirit, that it will bring the Word of knowledge to the people. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that every heart that is tuned into this broadcast, their desire to know the truth shall find in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, we give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. I'm going to open up with scripture from the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord Jesus Christ to his people through his angel messenger, the Elijah. I'm opening up, and don't worry, for those of you, hey, you just know the Bible, we are going to go into the Bible. But this is another one of God's book called the Word of the Lord, where Jesus has been sending messages through his angel messenger, the Elijah, as he has spoken of in Matthew 17, Malachi chapter 3, and chapter 4. Amen. And he has been sending thus far 120 messages over the span from 1927 to 1994 thus far. And I'm going to read out of one of the messages called the 54th message, being the 54th time that Jesus sent this angel with a message, March the 9th, 1942. I am giving you that date so in your prayer time, you can take this date to the Lord and say, Lord, did you send an angel on March the 9th, 1942 with a message? Amen. Because the Lord wants me to point you to him. Amen. So in this message here, it says, I'm going to read one of these verses out here. It said, this work shall continue on, for love is the message I bring. The church of Christ shall never again be destroyed. The evil shall not prevail against her, for she shall be adorned with a crown of 12 bright stars and garments of righteousness. Amen. Now, in this series, the title of this series is The First Century Church, Wolves Enter In, Part 2. And we have been discussing, especially from Part 1, this being one of the things that, as I read to you, Jesus said that his church shall never again be destroyed, which is indicating to us that at one point his church was destroyed. And as I said before, to some that hear that, they say, that's blasphemous. You're saying that God's power was not strong enough to keep his people. That is not what I'm saying. And overall, that is not what Christ is saying, because he sent this message to his angel. But understand this. It is dealing on behalf of the people. And I say this to you, that God would keep you. But if you, by your own free will, because remember, even though you got saved, he don't tamper with your free will. You still have a free choosing. Now, if you choose to walk away from God, to not keep his commandments, to walk from under his protection, then you have put yourself in an open spot to be hit with destruction, okay? So it won't be Jesus' fault, because for the simple fact is you chose to step out that way, amen? And so there were some contributing factors to the destruction of the early church, and we have looked at a couple of them before, and we are looking at another one today, part two, the first century church, wolves entering in. And as I said before, and I said this to people, you know, you look at Christianity today, and we are all separated. We're broken up in fragments over here, over there, wherever, okay? And you had even sinners, first of all, saying, if y'all serve the same God, why are y'all so separated? But now the question even go further to Christians, because there are some Christians who are starting to wonder, say, hey, you know, we all Christians. Why are we separated like we are? And why is it, Pastor, I'm hearing from you that don't go associate with those kind of people and don't go associate with those kind of people? I'm talking about all that saying that are Christians. Why is that so? Well, for us to understand this look of Christianity today that doesn't look good, we have to go back to the early church when things start happening, starting from the early church going on, okay? Amen. Because I'm here to say to you, the way you see Christianity set up, I mean, divided into Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostals, Episcopalian, all this division like that, that is not, I repeat, that is not the way Christ set up his church. Now, if you don't believe me, I tell you what, you prove to me otherwise. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. You prove to me from the scriptures, from the Bible. You prove to me where the Lord set up Baptist, Pentecostal, Methodist. You tell me. Now, once again, this is not throwing shade at anybody. But see, we got to get to the truth in order for us to receive deliverance. And there is nowhere in the scriptures where you see of these divisions that Christ actually set it up. You can't find it. Now, once again, if you feel like you found it, you know the phone number, 515-605-9887. So, as I was saying before, to go back, we got to go back to the history and look at the history of the early church. Now, some of you may say, well, why don't we hear too much preaching and teaching on the history of the church? Well, I told you there were different reasons. One of them is that some of the ministers, some of the leaders don't know this, okay? Some don't know this. Number two, another reason is that to really give the truth, it's going to take away some things that they were benefiting from. One of them is getting a lot of money. When you see that church, when I'm talking about the church, I'm talking about the body of Christ, is not fully together and separated, and you have some, you know, who wants to be off from other denominations and all the other group of Christians because we got a good money-making thing going on. And so if we really preach the full truth that we supposed to be as one, that's going to affect my money-making. And then plus two, you know, I might stand and lose some members. But that's the mentality of some. Amen. Now, we've been looking at in this part of the series where the Apostle Paul, and we went to Acts chapter 20, verse, I think it was 29 and 30, yes, where the Apostle Paul warned the believers, and he said, "For I know this, that after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." Now, we have already discussed these wolves, in other words, who they represent. He was not talking about literal animals, but he was talking about people who would carry the same characteristics. When you look up the literal animal wolf, especially the wolves that are, you know, what is considered, and I went into it with y'all guys yesterday about there was a article on the 10 most dangerous wolves in the world. And when you notice something in what I read to you about them and the description in them, the common theme was cunning, dangerous to humans, okay, would attack you at, you know, at moment, okay. Amen. One of the wolves was had a what you call a deceiving beauty, beautiful, but was dangerous, evil. I mean, they and they are bloodthirsty animals. Well, when you look at what Paul was talking about wolves, you translate that over to what he's talking about people. These, the wolves he's talking about was people won't spare the flock. Now, we know the flock is dealing with the people, okay, the people of God. And so these wolves are those who are not people of God, who was to come in among the people of God to destroy them. Just like if you took a literal wolf and put it into the cage with a lamb, poor lamb, that's what I say, because he's going to go to kill that lamb, okay? Amen. Especially one of them gray wolves, he's going to go to kill that lamb. Well, the wolves Paul talking about are those that who carry a murderous type spirit to destroy. Amen. And they're very cunning, okay? Deceptive, okay? Amen. And as Jesus, we looked at in Matthew 7, as Jesus described it, they come in sheep clothing. In other words, outwardly, they will appear to be humble as sheep, but inwardly, he said, they're raving wolves. And, you know, like I said, they wolves being the bloodthirsty animals, you know, and they ravage their prey. You know, they kill their prey. They don't kill it. They just rip it all to pieces like they just gone wild, okay? Well, these wolves enter in among the first century church, and it kept on throughout the time, okay, which was one of the things that contributed to the destruction of the early church. And this is what even going on today in many churches. They have wolves who are entering in among the people. Well, what is one of the reasons? Well, we in the ministry went to sleep. You know, instead of be watchful, watching out for the wolves, we went to sleep and the wolves was able to come in. And that's what happened in the early church. And this is one of the contributing factors of why you see Christianity separated and divided as it is today. Amen. Glory be to God. Now, let's go to the Bible. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 2 in your Bibles. Glory to God. Thank God for Jesus. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 2. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm going to read verse 1. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 2. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, look what the Word of God says. Hallelujah. But there were false prophets and also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, privately or secretly shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now, you said, well, Brother Nate, why do you go to that scripture? Well, if you remember in part one, when we looked at Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, Jesus told us, in the warning, just like Paul gave, Jesus said, beware of false prophets that will come to you in sheep clothing. Inwardly, they are raving wolves. And what we did was we looked at what did he mean by false prophets. Well, one of the things we come to understand that what he was meaning by false prophets, they were pretending foretellers. They were religious imposters who was bringing in erroneous Christian doctrine or erroneous teaching. In other words, they're teaching what they was teaching. They was passing it along for it to be a Christian teaching, but it wasn't. It was a doctrine full of errors, and it was not of God. And so therefore, as we look here in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, Peter had warned them. He said, you know, there are false prophets among the people. He said, and even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately or secretly shall bring in what? Damnable heresies. That means that was teachings and doctrines that can lead your soul to being lost. Do you get that? And so Jesus, this goes along with the warning that Jesus gave in Matthew 7 and 15. Well, see, the church did not fully heed it, especially after the apostles were killed and died, was killed and all that, and executed and you know, and persecuted and killed. The church didn't remain to holding that. And see, Peter, there was already, as Peter said, there was already false prophets among the people. He said, even there shall be false teachers among you. See, Peter and Paul, you know, was given by Jesus these things,
And it was revealed to them not only what was happening then, but what was going to happen in the time to come, okay? And it happened, people. And it's still going on today. You have people, false teachers and false prophets. Like I said, a false prophet is not just a person trying to operate in the office of a prophet and they're not called to be in that office, but they are a religious imposter, okay? Because remember, a prophet is supposed to be a spokesman for God and a representative for God. And we as children of God especially supposed to be representatives for Christ. So that false prophet is not just someone who is trying to operate office of the prophet that God hadn't called them to, but they are a religious imposter. And they're bringing in these doctrines, passing it off to say that they are Christian teachings, but they're not. Amen. And see, this is what was happening and going on in the early church. And this is one of the things that contribute to the destruction of the early church. Amen. And Peter says here that they were bringing in damnable heresies. Once again, these are teachings and doctrines that can lead your soul to be destroyed or to hell. Well, if you look deeper, he said, even denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. These teachings were even to cause the people to deny Christ as being the Redeemer. You get that? See, this is why many of you hear me speak so much against how that some Christians have accepted what the world called love. And what I mean is that the world says love is accepting anything and everything by people to help you get along. Okay? To combine it. You know, in other words, the world says, even if you don't agree, just accept it so we can live in peace and harmony. Well, that is not the love of Christ. But for some reason, some Christians have got it mixed up and thinking that, hey, you know, the Lord said love all men. And they think that love all men means, well, even though I don't agree with it, I just accept it. No. No. You don't hear about Jesus except, listen, when you read in the Bible, and Jesus walked this earth, how many of y'all read that he accepted all these teachings? In fact, he was approached by the Pharisees and Sadducees, who had all these kind of off-the-wall doctrines and commandments. Did Christ did he accept it, even though he didn't agree with it? Did he embrace it? No, he did not. See, my Lord is about this. Jesus said, when the smoke clears, I look to be the only one being worshipped, not no man, not no demons. But see, you have all these different religions and all these different kind of teachings, and what is very in the concern of the true Christians all over is how that there are some Christians and some Christian churches who are starting to accept these doctrines of these other religions in the sake of love and peace. Okay? They're going around saying, hey, you know, I don't agree, but I'm just going to accept it, you know, for the sake of love. Well, these doctrines, now you got to understand that of these other religions, if you look at the center core of what they have to say about Jesus, they deny his deity, they deny his resurrection, they deny the shedding of the blood. In other words, they tell you, say, it wasn't needed, it didn't do any good when it was done, and all of that. Now, if you're going as a Christian, is going to embrace such teachings, these teachings will lead your soul to hell, straight up. I mean, let's be honest about it. And see, some of the people, especially during the time of the early church, started to accept these teachings of these wolves that came in among them. Okay? Amen. Because get this. Everybody was not abiding by God's word when he said, study to show thyself approved. This is why so many Christians are getting being deceived today. But the problem is they end up mad at God. They say, oh, my goodness, I thought he was a real prophet of God, and I found out all he was doing was scamming my money. And so when you bring up about Jesus, they start snaring and snarling and looking in the air and rolling their eyes and walking off. And my question is, why are you mad at Jesus, amen, when you was the one that chose not to get in his word, to learn his word? You the one that chose not to really seek God about who you was dealing with, okay? Amen. Because as I said before, when people miss it, when they miss the boat, miss the point, okay, one of the things, you know, or get deceived. Let's go that way. Someone they really believe to be a man or a woman of God, and, you know, they say, oh, I really thought that they was, you know, of God and all of that, and, you know, and I found out that they was a snake, they was low down, they was dirty. Oh, poor me. And then when you say, well, hey, let's go before Jesus and ask the Lord to hear you, blah, 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 all of a sudden you start hearing excuses. Well, I don't know right now. I just don't know right now. And then they say, you know, they will come to church, and now the time is getting lesser and lesser to them to come, and now sometimes you go a month without seeing them, and you see them on the highway, they'll wave and speak to you, but they keep going, don't want to stand and have a conversation with you. Why? Because they're afraid that you may bring up, say, hey, brother, sister, we ain't seen you in a while, you know. Amen. And my question be, why is you taking it out on Jesus? Because Jesus wasn't the one that deceived you. So here, Peter was telling them, said, okay, now, there's some false prophets among you, going to be some false teachers that's going to come. They're going to bring in damnable heresies, even to a point where you start denying the Lord Jesus who bought you, who redeemed you. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. And see, verse 2 said, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, or their destructive ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be even spoke of. Okay? Now notice what he said. He said, now, this is where Peter said, they're going to have some type of success. Who he's talking about? These false prophets and false teachers. He said, and many shall follow. Okay? Just like Jesus said in Matthew 24, take heed and no man deceive you. He said, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. Okay? So Peter was saying that they was going to have some degree of success, and they did in the first early church. They had some degree of the success. They did. Because Peter said, many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Now, keep that in mind. Let's go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, okay? And I want to read John chapter 14, verse 6. John chapter 14, verse 6. Now, listen to what Jesus, I'm going to go to verse 5 and read 5 and 6. Verse 6 is our key verse. Now, this is what Jesus said. Verse 5, Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, notice what Jesus said. He said, I am the way, the truth. And notice that in 2 Peter, Peter said that many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Well, Jesus said, I am the way. Okay? So here we understand Jesus said he is the way. Peter said the way of truth is going to be evil spoken of. So it's going to cause them to speak evil about who? About Jesus and his way and his method. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you got to be careful what you be accepting. You got to make sure it's in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Amen. Because some of this stuff will cause you to deny Christ and will cause you to speak evil of Christ. See, that's what happened with the early church. Many shall follow. In other words, there were many who cleave to this evil teachings that these wolves was bringing in among them. Okay? Amen. They cleave to it. And they got to a point where they start denying Christ as the Redeemer and start speaking evil of him in his way. Okay? Amen. Hallelujah. They start speaking evil even concerning of salvation. Listen, this is people, listen. You got people like Oprah Winfrey that tell you that there are more than one way. There are different ways to get to Christ and get to God and all that stuff, okay? And see, the sad thing about it, you got some Christians who are joining with her, even appearing on her channel and all this stuff. Some Christians who is joining together with someone who's telling you that Jesus Christ is not the only way. In other words, she's saying that there are more than one way to get to God or get to heaven. That's what she's saying. Now, she's telling you that Jesus is not the only way. And so you got some people, some Christians, who are accepting these kind of teachings, which is causing them to speak evil of the Lord. Amen. The under shepherds, who should be watching out for this type of deception, have united with this deception. Well, I'm just calling it like it is, people, because that's exactly what it is. They have united with this deception. Amen. And like I said before, you got some say, well, for the sake of love, you know, God said love all men and be at peace with all men, and that's what we're trying to do. Even though we don't agree, we would just accept it because that'll bring us peace. No, that's going to bring you destruction, people. Listen, in the third heaven with God, and guess what? He's not sharing no throne with no demons or no angels, okay? God the Father, he is the one being worshiped in it. Ain't nobody else being worshiped in heaven. Even when you read a revelation, even when the angel came to John the Revelator and he went to bow down and worship him, what did the angel say? No, get up. I'm a fellow servant like you. No, don't do that now. Amen. Hallelujah. So Jesus is not sharing his teaching or worship with anybody else. Amen. So why would he tell you as a Christian, even though you don't agree with these other religions, still accept it in the name of love? Why would he tell you some stuff like that? That means that if he did that, you have every right to say, Jesus, wait a minute. Now, you kind of throwing me off here, okay? You kind of like unstable. Now, how is it you going to say you the way? But then you're going to tell us to accept these other teachings, even though we don't agree with it, and even though it's speaking against you, in the sake of love. You telling us to accept this? Come on, I'm confused. And Jesus said in the Bible, in Corinthians, he's the author of peace and not confusion. So we know it ain't the true Jesus telling no folks that. But see, we're living in a time now that some, as supposed to be as Christians, is not standing firm on the word of truth. They have allowed these wolves to bring in these damnable doctrines, these heresies, these stuff that causes a separation and a division in the church. They have allowed it to be brought in. Amen. And they have cleaved to this thing, and now they're separate, and now they've been led astray. This is what's happening, people. This is what one of the things that contribute to destruction of the early church. How do we expect, as a people, to stand when we are accepting damnable doctrines? Amen. Now, I know some of you out there believing that once saved, always saved. And I'm not trying to be funny, but guess what? That ain't doctrine. They're not teaching. You can come up with scripture you want to come up with, but guess what? That is not the doctrine of Jesus Christ. The scriptures does not support a once saved, always saved. Can we be saved forever? Yeah, if you stay in Christ, but you're not always saved if you walk away from him. You can lose your salvation, people. And there were people who lost their salvation. The church, they turned away from Christ. Why? Because they accepted these damnable teachings from these wolves. Amen. And it's going on in many churches today. Wolves have entered in, bringing this off-the-wall strange doctrines and twisted teachings, okay? Brought it in. Got the people all so messed up they can't think straight, but saying words against Jesus. And some in the church is afraid of people calling them narrow-minded when it comes to Christ. Listen, I tell you, I tell anybody else, and I'm telling all the demons and devils in hell, Christ is the way. He is the only way to salvation, to heaven, period. Period. Now, for some of you that's listening, if you want to call me narrow-minded, you go right ahead, okay? Love you anyhow, and guess what? I'm going to sleep well at night and wake up in the morning, blessed of the Lord. Amen. The Bible tells us, Jews said, to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And I think, personally, that some Christians, that scripture went over their head. Or when they started to read it, they closed their eyes so they can't see it. People, listen. This is not a time, okay, as a Christian, to be shaking and scared with your knees knocking together so hard to a point where you're going to say, I just can't walk this walk. I can't. I'm telling you, your faith is going to be more greater challenge concerning your belief in Christ, okay? Not of your gender, your color, or your age, but your belief in Christ. Now, if you don't believe me, ask the Lord about what I'm telling you. Now, I want to go to another scripture, another one of God's books called The Record of Nephi. And this is the record of the Nephites that the Lord Jesus came over here. Oh, yeah, he didn't just deal with people in Jerusalem, people. I know some of you just going like, well, the Lord dealt with them over in Jerusalem. They weren't the only people. It's just like some Christians today think they're the only Christian, okay? Like God ain't using no other Christian. Like to them, there could be no other Christian. They're the only Christian in their little group, okay, that there's no other Christians, okay? That's the mentality of some Christians. They're the only ones saved, okay? Well, the word of God, Tim said, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that Christ is raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So that goes to any color or any gender, okay? So that goes to the one that's, you know, confess the Lord in Australia, like the one that confess him over here in America, okay? Amen. So Jesus, he comes and he witnessed to the Nephites. And before he came, after his resurrection, he had servants over here. Okay, yeah, on this continent. During the time when Zedekiah, 2 Chronicles chapter 36, came into office as king, and we know Zedekiah did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord started sending prophets in the land of Jerusalem and said, hey, repent. And Jerusalem, the people rejected. They started mocking the prophets and abusing them and hurting them. And so there was one among them named Lehi, and Lehi prayed to God on the behalf of the people there in Jerusalem, and God showed him how that the people there was an abomination. And so Lehi received what the Lord showed him. So now he's going to go out and tell it to the people. And see, the Lord told him, said, hey, you know what? They're going to seek to destroy your life. And the Lord led him from Jerusalem over to this land. And this is where we got the start of the Nephite and Lamanites. The Nephites was known as the people of God, and the Lamanites was known not to be of the people of God, okay? Now, the Lord gave words, commandments judgment statutes to the people over here, just like he did over there in Jerusalem. Amen. Like I told you before, if God can speak a word to me on the subject, you don't think he can speak the same word to you? You think that what he told me on this subject, what he going to tell you going to be different? Well, guess what? If you believe that, then you don't believe in the true and living God. Because only a little g demon God would do some stuff like that. I'm going to read a couple verses here that the Lord gave to his servant to speak unto the people that was over here on this continent at this time, who was the people of God. And I want you to hear what he had to say. He said, "For what shepherd is there among you having many sheep, doth not watch over them, that the wolves enter not and devour his flock? And behold, if a wolf enter his flock, doth he not drive him out? Yea, and at the last, if he can, he would destroy him. And now I say unto you, that the good shepherd doth call after you. And if you will hearken unto his voice, he will bring you into his fold. And ye are his sheep. And he commanded you that ye suffer no ravenous wolf to enter among you, that ye may not be destroyed." Wait a minute now. So if God had his servant warning the people, and this right here I'm reading to you is before Christ came in the flesh. If he had them warning the people about wolves entering in among them then, okay. What makes you think that his warning was not valid? And it was. But like I said, the early church, especially after the apostles were persecuted and killed out, did not remain in heeding the word of the Lord. Because he says that wolves come in to destroy. They don't come in to slap high five with you and make friends with you. They don't. People, they don't. Once again, you put an animal, a wolf, in the cage with the lamb, poor lamb, okay? The lamb's in, my goodness. He's coming in to destroy the lamb. That's why when the peace of God during the millennial reign encompasses this earth, that's why Isaiah told you in chapter 11, Isaiah, that the wolf and the lamb will lie down together. He's telling you how great peace is going to be on earth, that it ain't going to be no killing and no fighting during that time of the millennial reign of peace. But before that time, which is what we're in, you put the wolf in that cage with that lamb, once again, poor lamb, okay? Because that wolf is coming. If you let that wolf in that cage, he's going in to destroy. That's what he's going to do. And that's how the Lord was spiritually speaking about those coming among the flock. And see, the shepherd, the under-shepherds, which I am a part of, hey, we got to be woke. And some shepherds, they are drowned in making money. You know, some shepherds or some so-called shepherds, you know, if you don't give them that $1,000 or $2,000 that Sunday, forget you. That's the attitude. I can't preach there. I can't preach for y'all because I got to have my money. They have made money the number one thing over the flock. The salaries that some of these ministers are asking for from this church congregation is mind-blowing. Many of these ministers is trying to live like fat cats. Many of these ministers is all about filling their pockets up and having the expensive cars and the big houses. And God said the judgment is going to be more bitter against them. Hallelujah. You know, some people said, I used to talk with some people, they want, well, you don't get paid? No. You know, the church don't pay? No. Why? Because I'm not full-time. I'm in the ministry, but see, I have a job, okay? Yeah, I have a job. Amen. Glory to God. I don't need to be going out there making money off the job and then milking the church. And even if I didn't have a job and was full-time in the ministry and the church supporting me, I'm not going to abuse it. You know, have you ever had somebody who you were helping And because you were helping, they started abusing the help. In other words, maybe you say, hey, you know, if you need something, you know, I help you get it. And they'll go out and find the most biggest and well expensive thing they can find, okay? And you go, oh, wait a minute. So maybe you know, kind of bite your lip through that and gave that, but then they come with something else. And you know, because see, sometimes you got some people who would abuse their help, okay? And that's what many of these so-called ministers are doing. They are abusing it. They are milking the church. They are going to sleep, and wolves have come in among the people. And guess what? They ain't caring. You know why? Because Jesus called a name for these so-called ministers. He called them hirelings. They're only there for the work for wages. And like I said, if you don't give them that $1,000 or $2,000 or $3,000 that Sunday, you out of luck, okay? That preacher will let you know in a minute, well, I just won't be there Sunday. Amen. Now, some of y'all know I'm not lying, okay? And with some of y'all, it may be going on where you at. You just don't want to raise your hand or say anything, okay? But you know I'm telling the truth. Amen. And God said the judgment is going to be more bitter. If they don't repent and come out of that, the judgment is going to be more bitter against them. Why? Because you are in a leadership position and you are abusing it. I mean, you got church struggling. Some of these churches struggling just trying to pay the preacher. And the preacher, I got to say this, okay? And many of the preachers are living in big 10-room houses, okay? Amen. They're not working anywhere, and they depending on nothing but the money from the church. Big houses will cost, I don't know how much money. And some of their own congregants is being kicked out of their houses, can't pay their rent. Amen. And some of these ministers are so high and mighty that the congregants can't even meet with them. The ministers will have someone else to go talk to them besides them. You know, they made it like they're so big time and special, like Hollywood stars, that, hey, you talk to my bodyguard or my entourage or whatever. Amen. I mean, this is how it gotten, people. Ridiculous. And we're talking about this is the church of Christ. What church? That ain't the way Christ set the church up. That's why he been sending the Elijah for the restitution and restoration of all things. But when the smoke clears, you're going to see how the true church is set up. When it clears, you're going to see it. You're going to see that which Christ have set up. Right now, many of you looking at Christianity and say, man, y'all just a bunch of confused people. Well, guess what? Here's a news flash. Christ didn't set it up. Christ didn't set it up. I don't care what they claim. Christ did not set this up for us to look so confused and broke up and all that stuff. It's just ridiculous. And that's what's been happening. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, glory. Thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of God. Amen. God is doing something, people. This is why God had me on this broadcast, having others on this broadcast, giving you the word that come from the Lord, because some of y'all think God is not doing nothing today. Y'all think he ain't speaking. And you have been listening to other people saying, well, you know, God spoke back in the days of Moses and Peter and Paul, but he's not speaking today. Really? And see, some of y'all have accepted. You know why? One of the reasons why you accept it, because you haven't gotten in the word yourself. You're so busy trying to make money, trying to get these earthly things established, okay? You're so busy trying to do that, won't get in the word, and you say to yourself, well, if the person say he's a Christian, I'm just going to believe it. He said God said it, I'm just going to believe it. Okay, and some of you have accepted the word of some of these so-called Christians who have told you that God is not speaking today. The Bible says, Malachi chapter 3, Hebrews 13, that my God is the same. Well, what did that mean, Brother Nate? Well, that means that if he spoke to a Adam, to a Moses, okay, to a Paul, to a Peter, then guess what? If he was speaking back then and he's the same, that means he don't change. That means he's speaking when? Today. Okay? Today. Amen. This is why, one of the reasons why he been sending the Elijah with this word to let his people know, I'm alive, people. I ain't dead. I'm speaking today. I'm speaking today. It's like some of them teaching that all the gifts, there's no more operation of the gifts today. I said, where you get that stuff from? You don't have even scripture proof of that. Somebody, we come from 1 Corinthians 13. He said, we know in part. Okay? But when that which is perfect is come. Okay? Hallelujah. Amen. That which is perfect must come. So the gifts are still in operation. You get what I'm saying? People, I'm please hear these warnings. Respect your leadership. If they're true and man of God or woman of God, respect them. But have a balanced study in your life. Don't just pick up your Bible when you go to service and then you in Bible study, so you're going to study 1 hour a week, okay? People, that ain't going to cut the mustard. You think because you go to Sunday school, you may be there on time, and you go to Bible study for 1 hour, that's going to do you for until the next Sunday. No. Let me ask you a question, because since the Word of God is even symbolically talked about as being food, but let me ask you a question. What about if on the Sunday you only ate for 1 hour and you didn't eat no more until the next Sunday? Are you going to make it? Okay. Can you completely make it on just eating food 1 hour for a whole week? Constantly? Okay. Now, I know that there's some that go on fast, but at some point you got to eat some food, people. Now, of course, you can go without longer without food than you can water, but at some point, you got to eat some food because guess what? You're gonna hit malnutrition. You get that? Hallelujah. Amen. So since I gave you that's the same thing about the Word of God. You can't go feeding off the Word of God for just 1 hour out of a whole week. Your spirit, man, needs the food. If you don't, your spirit gets weaker. Your flesh going to get stronger. And you're going to be caught up in doing some stuff you know you ain't got no business doing without any control. You be like, I just can't control it. I just don't know what's happening. I just can't. Well, you ain't been feeding your spirit. You ain't been letting your spirit, man, gain the strength to become more and more stronger through the Word of God over your flesh. And so by you neglecting that area, now your flesh ain't got stronger, and now you're doing some stuff where you say, I just can't. I can't control it. I don't know how to stop it. Amen. Thank God for the blessed word. I thank God for the blessed word. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. Once again, you have brought us to the end of the broadcast, but it's not the end of your word. And Father, we thank you today for blessing us this day and keeping us as you've done. And dear Lord, I ask that you will bless the people, strengthen them. In Jesus' name, I pray that the word they heard will bring edification to their spirit in Jesus' name. And I pray that this will spark them to seek you even more. So, Father, I praise you and I magnify and glorify you because you're worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Thank God for all you've been listening. Don't forget, tonight we have another broadcast at 7 o'clock. Brother Eddie Lee, the Full Gospel Message. Look for it at 7 o'clock p.m. tonight. So once again, this is Brother Nate on Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry broadcast. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.